Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Citizenship Studies Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here, because today we're diving into one of the most important topics on the whole specification, Theme B, Democracy at Work in the UK. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need to know, from the basics of democracy right through to devolution and public finances. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big question. What actually is democracy? The word comes from the Greek, meaning rule by the people. But here's the thing. There are two main types, and examiners absolutely love testing whether you can tell them apart. The first is direct democracy. This is where citizens vote directly on decisions themselves. The most famous modern example in the UK is a referendum, like the 2016 Brexit referendum, where over 33 million people voted directly on whether the UK should leave the European Union. The second, and this is the one the UK mainly uses, is representative democracy. Here, citizens elect representatives to make decisions on their behalf. In the UK, we elect Members of Parliament, or MPs, to represent us in the House of Commons. There are 650 constituencies across the UK, and each one elects one MP. The key phrase to use in your exam is, MPs represent the views of their constituents in Parliament. Now, how do we actually elect those MPs? This brings us to the voting system, first past the post, often shortened to FPTP. It's simple. In each constituency, the candidate with the most votes wins, even if they don't get more than half the votes. The strengths of FPTP are that it's simple to understand, it usually produces a clear winner and a strong majority government, and it maintains a direct link between an MP and their constituency. The weaknesses, though, are significant. Votes for losing candidates are effectively wasted. Parties can win a large share of the national vote, but very few seats. Examiners will often ask you to evaluate FPTP, so make sure you can argue both sides. Right, let's move on to Parliament itself. Parliament has two houses. The House of Commons is the elected chamber. It has 650 MPs and is the more powerful of the two. The House of Lords is the unelected chamber. It contains life peers, appointed by the Prime Minister, hereditary peers, and Lords Spiritual, which are 26 senior Church of England bishops. The Lords can delay legislation by up to 1 year, but they cannot permanently block it. The key concept here is parliamentary sovereignty. This means Parliament is the supreme legal authority in the UK. It can make, change, or repeal any law. No other body, not the courts, not the monarch, not devolved assemblies, can overrule an act of Parliament. This is absolutely central to the UK constitution. The UK has an uncodified constitution. Unlike the United States, which has a single written document, the UK's constitution is made up of several sources. Acts of Parliament, like the Human Rights Act 1998, common law, built up over centuries, conventions, which are unwritten rules followed by custom, and authoritative texts like Erskine May. The uncodified nature means it is flexible, but critics argue it is unclear and can be manipulated by governments. Now let's look at the three branches of government. Remember the acronym LEJ, Legislature, Executive, Judiciary. The Legislature is Parliament. Its job is to make laws and scrutinise the government. The Executive is the government, the Prime Minister, the Cabinet and government departments. Its job is to run the country and set policy. The Judiciary is the court system, headed by the Supreme Court, established in 2009. Its job is to interpret and apply the law independently of the government. The doctrine of separation of powers means these three branches should be kept separate to prevent any one group from holding too much power. Checks and balances exist to keep each branch accountable. The Prime Minister is the leader of the party with the most seats in the House of Commons. Their powers include appointing and dismissing ministers, chairing cabinet meetings, and representing the UK abroad. The cabinet consists of around 22 senior ministers, like the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who is responsible for the economy and public finances. The opposition, the largest party not in government, scrutinises government policy. Prime Minister's Questions, held every Wednesday, is a key example of this scrutiny in action.
Now,
how does a bill actually become a law? This is a favourite exam topic, and candidates often get the stages muddled up. Let me walk you through them clearly. First reading, the bill is formally introduced. No debate takes place. Second reading, MPs debate the general principles of the bill. Then there's the committee stage, where a small group of MPs examine the bill line by line and propose amendments. Next, the report stage, where the whole House considers those amendments. Then third reading, the bill is debated in its final form and voted on. After passing the Commons, the bill goes to the House of Lords, where it goes through the same stages. If the Lords make changes, the bill goes back to the Commons. This back and forth is called ping pong. Finally, once both houses agree, the bill receives royal assent. The monarch formally signs it into law. And that's it. A bill becomes an act of parliament. The final major area of content is devolution. Since 1999, power has been transferred, or devolved, from Westminster to three devolved administrations. The Scottish Parliament at Holyrood has powers over health, education, justice, and some taxation. The Senedd Cymru, the Welsh Parliament, has powers over health, education, and local government. The Northern Ireland Assembly at Stormont has powers over health, education, and agriculture. However, certain powers remain reserved to Westminster. These include defence, foreign policy, immigration, and macroeconomic policy. This distinction between devolved and reserved powers is something examiners test regularly. The impact of devolution has been significant. Scotland abolished university tuition fees, while England charges up to £9,250 per year. Critics argue devolution has created a postcode lottery. Supporters argue it brings government closer to the people. Right, now let's talk exam tips and common mistakes. These are the things that separate the candidates who get top marks from those who don't. Mistake number one, confusing the three branches of government. Remember, the legislature makes laws, the executive runs the country, the judiciary interprets the law. Use the acronym LEJ to keep them straight. Mistake number two, confusing MPs with local councillors. MPs represent constituencies in Parliament and vote on national laws. Local councillors work in local government and make decisions about local services. They are completely different roles. Mistake number three, describing the legislative process inaccurately. Learn the stages in order. First reading, second reading, committee stage, report stage, third reading, then the Lords, then ping pong, then royal assent. Mistake number four, ignoring the uncodified constitution. The UK does not have a single written constitution, and that matters. It means Parliament can change constitutional rules with a simple act of Parliament. Exam tip, always use specific terminology. Words like parliamentary sovereignty, scrutiny, constituency, devolution, and separation of powers will earn you credit. Exam tip, for evaluation questions, those that ask how far you agree, you must present arguments on both sides and then reach a clear, supported judgment. Now, quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, give you a short pause to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one, what is the difference between direct and representative democracy? Short pause. Direct democracy is where citizens vote on decisions themselves. Representative democracy is where citizens elect representatives to make decisions on their behalf. Question two, name the three devolved administrations and where they meet. Short pause. The Scottish Parliament meets at Holyrood, the Welsh Parliament meets in Cardiff, the Northern Ireland Assembly meets at Stormont. Question three, what does parliamentary sovereignty mean? Short pause. It means Parliament is the supreme legal authority in the UK. It can make, change, or repeal any law. Question four, what are the stages of a bill becoming law? Short pause. First reading, second reading, committee stage, report stage, third reading, then the same stages in the other house, then ping pong if needed, then royal assent. Question five, what is the role of the Chancellor of the Exchequer? Short pause. The Chancellor is responsible for managing the UK's economy and public finances, including setting the budget and deciding on taxation and government spending. And that brings us to our summary and sign-off. The UK is a representative parliamentary democracy. We use first-past-the-post to elect 650 MPs.
Parliament has two houses, the elected Commons and the unelected Lords. The three bodies of government are the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary. The UK has an uncodified constitution. Parliamentary sovereignty is the supreme principle. Since 1999, devolution has transferred powers to Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. The Chancellor manages public finances. You've got this. Revise those key terms. Practice your evaluation skills, and remember, examiners reward specific knowledge and clear reasoning. Good luck in your exam. I'm rooting for you.